This is a sermon given at St. James Church in San Francisco on April 16, 1989, on John 10, 22 through 30, by George Koch.
I wonder if I might ask how many folks here have either grown up on or worked on a farm sometime in their lives? Maybe 10%? The reason I ask, I was privileged when I was a child to live both in the suburbs and on a farm. We spent our winters in the suburbs, and during the summers, we went to my aunt and uncle's dairy farm up in northern Michigan. And it struck me in reading the gospel for today that we living in an urban setting really have no sense of what this metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd is about. If you live on a dairy farm, as we did, the cows that you have, you know every one of those cows by name because they're all named, Bessie and Betsy and Anna and Jean. You know those cows as well as you know your children. You know every mark on their body. You know if they're out of sorts, if they're not giving as much milk as they normally do. You know if they've bumped into barbed wire and they've got a nick on the side of their skin. So that there is great familiarity between a farmer and his dairy herd. In fact, when the cows are brought into the barn, they each go to their own stalls. They know which stalls are theirs, and often the farmer will have the cow's name on the stall, right up above it. So this is familiar ground for someone who's lived and worked on a farm. But I think that the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep is rather dry and remote for us as 20th century urban dwellers. What I'd like to do is spend a few minutes talking a little bit about what sheep and shepherding meant to the Jews and see if we can try to put ourselves in that context and think about what Jesus is saying here in the way that they might have thought about it, in the way they might have heard it. I don't think there's any tug on our heartstrings when we think about shepherds and sheep. But to the Jews, sheep were their most prized possession without qualification. And the Jews had been shepherders for all of their history. In fact, one of the reasons they were reviled by the Egyptians was because the Egyptians considered shepherding to be the lowliest of all professions. They hated sheepherders, much as the cowboys in this country hated sheepherders. One of the reasons is that sheep, when they graze a pasture, chew the grass right down to the ground, right down to the nub. And that's the reason that sheep are moved from pasture to pasture, is because both there isn't anything left to graze on, and if you want it to come back, you've got to move off of it to another pasture. Now, when we think about sheep, we maybe have a picture in our minds of some of the immense farms where sheep are raised in this country, thousands and thousands of sheep all herded together. Or perhaps we think of the sort of pastoral scenes in Scotland or England, and the shepherd with his trusty dog driving the sheep from one pasture to a higher pasture or down below. In the Orient, this is not how sheep are handled. In fact, shepherders in the Orient lead their sheep. They do not drive them. And they know every one of their sheep by name. And every one of those sheep know the shepherd's voice. So that often what they would do at night is they would take the sheep into an enclosed area, either natural or man-made, with a single gate, and they would drive all of the sheep in there to keep them safe at night from the wolves and lions or bears or whatever were around. Then the shepherd would sleep at that gate. He would lie down and sleep with his body across the gate so that if a wolf or a marauding animal were to try to attack the sheep, it would have to first cross over the body of the shepherder so that he would know that something had happened. And very often, several shepherds would drive their sheep into the same enclosure. And in the morning when they had to be separated, the shepherd would just stand up and call his sheep, and they would separate themselves out from the rest. because they knew his voice. And they followed him because they knew his voice. If someone else stood up, those sheep would not only not follow him when called, they would run the other way because they would perceive that person as an enemy. Now I'd like to back up a little bit in John, where we heard the gospel from today. Still in the 10th chapter, but a little bit before verse 22, and go back up to starting at about verse 3. And these again are the words of Jesus. These precede the words you just heard. And to put this in context just for a second in terms of the year, what you hear here was said during the fall preceding the crucifixion. The gospel that you just heard minutes ago was said during the Feast of Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, which celebrated the cleansing of the temple by the Maccabees when they threw out the Syrians. The temple in Jerusalem had been held by opposing forces. They'd actually sacrificed pigs on the altar in Jerusalem. It had been desecrated. And the Maccabees, who were Jewish freedom fighters, is probably the best way to put it, swept in and threw these guys out and cleansed the temple and restored it to where it had been. And the Festival of Lights, or Hanukkah, is a memory of a single vial of oil, which should have burned for only one day, having burned for 8 days, while new oil was being brought in from a far distance. And so when the Hanukkah candle is lit, and they light 8 candles, those are celebrating the 8 days during which that single flask of oil burned. Off the subject, but interesting. So, in this temple, they celebrate Hanukkah, and Jews continue to celebrate Hanukkah in December of each year. So when the gospel you heard today was read, this was at the Feast of Hanukkah. This was December, just before the crucifixion, 3 months before the crucifixion. Now what I'm going to read, which is slightly earlier in John, in the 10th chapter, this was probably sometime between October and December. But these are all of a season. The fall of the year just before the crucifixion. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." This is that the sheep are gathered together, and he calls, and those sheep which know his voice, and he knows their names, hear them and follow him out of the enclosure. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I should say that when a shepherd led his flock from one pasture land to another, very often they would go over barren ground, which looked utterly inhospitable. And yet the sheep knew, they had faith in their shepherd. They knew that he led them to new pasture land, and they would follow. And if the shepherd walked through a pasture and saw poisonous weeds, because he was ahead of them, he would pull the poisonous weeds out and drop them on rocks to wither so that the sheep would not eat them. One of the reasons the shepherd led. Then Jesus says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Then Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And in the original, this word means genuine shepherd, as opposed to the hireling who runs when the sheep are attacked. This shepherd will give up his life for the sheep. He will fight the wolf, as David did. Remember David, who was known as a shepherd from Bethlehem, when he presented himself to Saul as a possible opponent for Goliath, he said, "Am I not the boy who went out and fought the bear and the lion with my bare hands to retrieve the sheep and killed the lion with my bare hands? Am I not that boy?" So the shepherds were known in these days for their bravery. They lived and had tremendous affection for their sheep, and they risked their lives to keep their sheep safe. So Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. That's us, the Gentiles. He was already talking about the Gentiles, but he's addressing the Jews here. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. Now this is the fall before the crucifixion when Jesus is saying this. He knows what's coming. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So Jesus is now talking to people who understand exactly what this metaphor of the sheep is about. Let me back up just for a minute into John 7, because this is still during the same period of time, probably October or November. Many of the Jews were arguing about Jesus and saying, is this the one? Is this the Christ? In fact, in the Gospel today, they ask him, tell us plainly, are you he? Are you the one? Well, this argument had been going on for some time. And back in John 7, there is a conversation that happens between them, which says, still others ask, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the Scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? So these folks do not know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is to the west of Jerusalem. They think he's from Galilee, which is way north. And they're having this argument. What's interesting is that the prophecies about the Messiah said that he would come from David's line and from the town of Bethlehem. And when we think about the sheep, the Jews used the sheep for food, for clothing. The robes, which are mentioned in Revelation, in which they were made from wool. And they sacrificed the sheep, the lambs, at the temple. And they did this every year at Passover. That's what the Feast of Passover is about. When the first lambs were sacrificed in Egypt, and the blood of that lamb was put on the lintel of the door so that the Spirit of the Lord passing over would not kill the firstborn. When Passover was celebrated each year after that, lambs were sacrificed in the temple. The altar on which those lambs were sacrificed had a drain in it for the blood of the lamb which had been sacrificed. And that drain ran out of the temple and pointed toward Bethlehem. And this was not by accident. It was on purpose, because they believed that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, from the city of David. And so the lambs which were sacrificed in the temple, the very blood drained out towards Bethlehem. Now, when we go into the book of Revelation today, we find John talking about the throne and the lamb in front of the throne. All of a sudden, we've got Jesus as the shepherd and as the lamb. It's like the metaphor here is mixed. But it isn't. Because really what's being said is what was said at the beginning of John, the very first chapter of John. If you remember, the very first verse is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is referring to Jesus. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. What is being said in this metaphor is that Jesus is not only the shepherd, but he has come to live as one of the sheep. He is the lamb worthy to be slain. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, said, this is again in John, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the image here is God has become man, or men and women. God has come to dwell among us, not just as the shepherd, but as one of us, and to be sacrificed as the final sacrifice. No longer are we to celebrate by slaying lambs, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, has been slain for our sins. So the image is very rich here. If we then go back to Revelation, which was read today, we hear, out of every nation of all tribes and peoples and languages, they stood in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb. They washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They will not be hungry any longer. They will not be thirsty any longer. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the heart of the throne will shepherd them and will lead them to the springs of the waters of life. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, what does this remind us of? This is the 23rd Psalm, said again. The Psalm which Mary thankfully had all of us read together today. When shepherds used to lead their flocks, they carried with them a small bag, sometimes cloth, sometimes leather, in which they carried extra forage. And if they had to stop and there was no pasture for them to eat from, they would open up this bag and feed the sheep from this forage. Well, this bag would spread out on the ground as a square cloth, and it was called a table. And so when the 23rd Psalm says, "Prepare us a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, or in the presence of those who trouble me," this is the image of the shepherd feeding the sheep where there is no food, and yet the wolves can be around, but the sheep are protected because the shepherd is there with his rod. When it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil," the sheep, when they foraged among brambles, would often cut their faces among the brambles as they foraged. And the shepherd would carry a small vial of oil, which he would put on the face of the sheep in order to heal the wounds. When we read the 23rd Psalm, the image here is of the shepherd. The Jews saw themselves as shepherds, but they also saw themselves as the sheep of God. That's why the 23rd Psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is the image, and when Jesus says, "I am the shepherd, my people know my voice, and I know my sheep," he is saying, not only is he here to lead us, but he has been one among us, and he has died for us and for our sins. This is a very, very powerful metaphor to the people of his time. And if we begin to understand how deeply they understood that metaphor, what sheep meant to them, what shepherding meant to them, then we can begin to get some sense of how important it was to them when Jesus said, "You are my flock. They know my voice." The reason the Jews he was talking to at that moment didn't recognize him as the Messiah, because they didn't know him as their shepherd, and they couldn't hear his voice. Amen.